say we're all wrong for these days. So much for money, so much for big. Who needs a trouble man? There's always a gig at the cafe. The radio cafe, East Nashville skyline. Crossing over to state.
Yeah, let's leave all our troubles way behind. Hey, it's going to be Wine Me, Dine Me in just a few moments.
Oh, I can cook, too, on top of the rest. My seafood's the best in the town. Yes, I can cook, too. My fish can't be beaten. My sugar's the sweetest around. I'm a man's ideal of a perfect meal, right down to the demi-tay. I'm a pot of joy for a hungry boy, baby. I'm...
Yeah, she can stop cooking with gas. Hey, it's 12:02. It's Wednesday. It's the every other Wednesday Wine Me, Dine Me Wednesday. I'm Rachel Forrest, the food writer for the Portsmouth Herald, and I'm here with my co-host,
Allie Goodwin, galfoodie.com.
Galfoodie.com. You're listening to WSCALP, Portsmouth Community Radio. And, well, there's this wacky holiday we do every year.
Turkey Day.
I hate when people say Turkey Day, don't you?
Day.
No, it's Thanksgiving. It's a holiday of traditions and family.
Yeah. Or, you know, whenever I hear people say Turkey Day, do you want to know what I think of?
What?
It's kind of random, but it pops right in. You ever see that episode of Friends where they get the turkey stuck on their head and they're like running around the apartment with the turkey? Yeah. I don't know where that comes from.
That is what you wake up screaming with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No turkey on my head.
There's a turkey.
I like
on
Thanksgiving.
My head.
I actually, it's one of my favorite holidays.
Because it's such a food holiday?
Perhaps. It also sometimes is my birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Every
your birthday.
4 years I get to eat turkey. Well, every year I get to eat turkey basically over my birthday. But yeah, it's kind of fun because I always know that my whole family's going to be around.
So they have to be with you.
They have to be with me
birthday.
And they have to make me dinner.
This year, your birthday was the day after Thanksgiving.
It is.
On Black Friday.
Yes.
Will you be shopping at Kohl's at 4 a.m.?
I was going to hit up BJ's first.
Yeah.
Then maybe Best Buy, then Kohl's.
Yeah. I want to get my daughter one of those flip video cameras.
Yeah, I have one of those.
I was using my fingers to show the size. You at home cannot see it. They're tiny.
On Radio Vision.
Yeah.
They're tiny. They're actually, can I tell you, I just got one of those.
You did?
I did. And I don't know that I cared for it all that much.
Why?
Are we doing
this is
flip
nothing,
product
this
reviews?
Has nothing to do with food.
Food?
Oh, but I want to say, there's this really cool... Well, first, tell me why you don't like it.
Okay. It was great. I mean, I got the one that does HD.
Yes.
Which, you know, shoots in HD, and you can actually really tell. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Video quality's great. But the buttons, it's almost like a cell phone. And when you go to press the buttons on and off and zooming and everything, and those of you in radio land can't see that
she's doing the text thumb movement. Yeah.
You know, you hit the camera to make the move. Well, it moves the camera. So you move the video. So every time you go to zoom,
interesting.
You're kind of like jostling the video camera, and you can tell it's not smooth.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a different way of holding your hand that maybe 16-year-old girls who are all over the phone thing.
She has these ET fingers for first thing. When she was first born and she, you know, and they showed her to me.
You're like,
The first thing I said was, oh my gosh, her fingers are so long. And now she's a guitar player.
Perfect.
So, that makes sense. So, and she was also very adept at that whole texting thing. Flying,
she might be okay.
Fingers fly.
She might be okay. It's just not as smooth. It's not as smooth as I would have liked it to be. And I found it slightly awkward. But the video quality for the size and the amount of stuff you can get on this thing is pretty. And cooler still is the flip part of it is the little USB connector flips out the side and you just plug it right into the side of your computer.
Yeah.
And right from the camera, you can dump stuff to Facebook. You can dump stuff on email. It's pretty awesome. YouTube.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got some coolness and it has nothing to do with food, but you could videotape yourself cooking.
Yeah. And speaking of documenting Thanksgiving, I just came across, I don't know if you know Amanda Hesser, who's a food writer for the New York Times.
Yes.
And wrote a book, famous for, Cooking for Mr. Latte, sort of a memoir about her cooking for her husband and then her husband-to-be. My nose is itchy. She has launched a new website called Food52.
Yeah, I am a fan.
.com. And I just noticed on Facebook yesterday that you send your 10 photos from your Thanksgiving day, and they're going to choose the top three and make little slideshows out of them. Oh, so wouldn't that be fun?
I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have till Sunday to upload them, and you can have captions.
And that's a pretty cool site too, because they do a lot of food competition, recipe competitions, and anybody can do it. I mean,
and anybody can vote.
And anybody can vote. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And then each week, the winner, their recipe will get into a book that will be at the end of the whole year cycle.
Her 52 weeks.
So there's some crowdsourcing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really cool site. I like that. Yeah. And Slash Food too. Big
Slash
fan.
Food. Yeah.
Big fan. My friend Kat writes for that.
Yep. I like Michael Ruhlman's website, his blog.
Which one is that?
It's just blog.ruhlman.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ruhlman. Cool. And he wrote Soul of a Chef and Reach of a Chef.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he co-wrote the French Laundry cookbook.
Yes.
That's where his website is where I got the chicken fried pork belly recipe.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's a good website. And I just want to mention on December 9th at River Run Bookstore at 6 p.m., they do this annual kind of what books to get for the holidays, and I'll be doing a little segment on what cookbooks to get for the holidays.
Perfect.
So come down, see me, y'all.
Come down and get an autograph.
on not my book.
On not your book, but it's still cool.
Yeah, not until what, spring 2011.
Yeah. Hee-hee. A little shameless self-promotion. Psst, it's the Arrows cookbook Rachel's writing with the Arrows chefs.
Arrows restaurant chefs.
Pre-order on Amazon.com.
So we're going to talk about Thanksgiving today, but I just want to mention also on December 9th for the show, we will have Chef Carl Mace from the Union Bluff Hotel, Union Grill, and his sous chef, Nick. And they are doing something very exciting. They're going to go. They've been invited to go to the James Beard House and cook there on December 29th.
Wow.
And that is a big honor.
That's a huge honor.
Yeah, it is a huge honor to cook there.
Yeah.
And to go have a pee in the bathroom there because it's so disturbing. You know, James Beard was a wacky guy, and the bathroom is completely...
Sorry.
Telephone!
Excuse me, iPhone.
It sounds like an old-fashioned phone. The bathroom is complete... All the walls, it's completely mirrors.
Oh, that's kind of creepy. Why would you... Well, I can think of a lot of reasons why some people would want that, and I don't.
Let's not think about
it. Mine is not.
Yeah, James Beard liked it that way, and they preserved it for us.
Oh, for posterity.
Yeah, posterity. So it is new. I know they're already gathering their call fat, and he's already talked to them about bringing down, I don't know what it was, like 5 gallons of duck fat.
Ugh, duck fat.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love duck fat?
Yeah, what's not to love about duck fat?
I want to go to that restaurant soon.
Duck fat up in Portland, yeah.
Maybe be a Rachel Alley on the road, you know.
Yeah, there's so many good... I'll do more shameless self-promotion. In dining out in the Spotlight Arts and Entertainment Guide tomorrow, instead of a traditional dining out, it's just a little roundup of some of the newer Portland restaurants that have cropped up.
Oh, that's nice, because a lot of people don't know. It's so easy to get there, and oh my gosh, there are some amazing... eateries. Not that Portsmouth doesn't have its fair share.
Right.
But
we do, but.
But, you know, Portland's a cool little jaunt, and you can eat well.
Yeah, it's only a 45-minute drive, and then you can stop at Whole Foods.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say I go to Whole Foods. My problem is that I enjoy the wine part of dinner as much as I enjoy the food part.
Yeah.
So getting home.
I try to stay overnight.
Whole Foods and walk it off or something.
Yeah. So you're listening to Why Me Dime Me. I'm Rachel Forrest.
And I'm Allie Goodwin.
And we're here on WSCA Portsmouth Community Radio. And yes, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Now, you have a big family.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And we have big food. And my family cooks. Every single one of us cooks.
So everybody's... Now, where do you normally have Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, the last few years, and I'm trying to think back because it's been the last few years, my aunt in Amesbury has this incredible old house that was built in the 1700s right on the Merrimack.
Neat.
Complete with Indian shutters. So if the Indians show up tomorrow, we can shutter ourselves in and use the escape hatch to like sneak away, you know, run, flee to safety. It's a pretty cool house because it's really, it's very much original. So it feels kind of colonial and pilgrimy, and it's, you know, fireplaces going in every room, and, you know, it's really nice. It's
pilgrimy.
Really pilgrimy. However pilgrims feel. And so everybody this year more, I think, than any year, I think the kids are at an age where, and I say the kids, those of us who are pushing, you know, older towards 40, we're all cooking this year. Everybody's bringing something.
Okay.
So we had to kind of make a list, and everybody had to say what they wanted to bring, and the master list. So we all got it. So my cousins at the house are doing the turkey and the stuffing and the traditional stuff that goes with that. And then I'm bringing this, sweet potato, apple sausage stuffing kind of casserole that I make, and a corn pudding.
Corn pudding.
Yeah,
I love corn pudding.
And perhaps if I can make it all happen today, a fig crostata.
What's that like?
It's pretty darn good. It's it's, you know, reduced figs in a, and crostata, this crostata is a traditional, it's a lot of butter. It's like a pound of butter in this crust, and the Italians consider it almost a pasta. I mean, if it's traditionally, the Italians consider it as part of the pasta family.
Oh, so
this dough, this particular dough that goes with this recipe, and it's super buttery, super dense. It's almost like a giant fig Newton is really what it tastes like.
Oh.
And I love it. The Golden Harvest has these incredible gelatos. I don't know if you've
sampled. I've had some of those, yeah.
Well, they have a pumpkin spice one that goes perfectly with this fig tart thing. So that is coming with as well. And if I have a plan B for that, if I get way behind today, because all this has to happen today before 6 o'clock when I go to yoga. if that fails, then it's gingerbread. I'll whip up some gingerbread, and I do this sort of brandied whipped cream that goes on top.
Now, will you be posting those recipes on galfoodie.com?
It's entirely possible that galfoodie.com will
no
have
pressure.
Some action. You know, it needs some action. Galfoodie.com needs some action. I think we're gonna write about Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving, you know, we go back to galfoodie.com for a minute. It's not just recipes, it's stories.
Stories.
The other side of Thanksgiving for me is that it being a very family oriented event for me, as well as usually a birthday, I shared my birthday with my grandmother.
Oh.
And she's gone now. She's been gone for a couple of years. But that was a big deal for us. So, you know, there's some stories and some sharing, you know, about the kinds of recipes, like she and I would always have the same thing for our birthday, you know, like as part of the ritual of celebrating the whole event. Holiday, birthday, whatever, you know. So, so that might appear. Some of that might show itself on my Gal Foodie blog, along with these recipes.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And are you making anything? I know you're going to your friends tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Company carrots. Which is a family recipe. It's carrots baked with a horseradish butter cream.
Oh,
sauce. Yeah, my mom makes it every year.
Excuse me, I'm coughing with delight.
All right, that's what we call it, company carrots.
And would you like to share that with galfoodie.com?
Yes, I'll try. I do it by out of my head now.
Mm-hmm.
So I will I'll send that to galfoodie.com.
Send it to galfoodie.com and we'll put that in, because that sounds really good. So it's horseradish, carrots,
baked up. Yeah, you boil the carrots and then reserve some of the juice, and then you make a sauce out of fresh horseradish, sour cream, mayonnaise.
Oh, sweet.
And some of the juice, and then and very, very finely chopped onion. And then you pour that all over it, top with buttered breadcrumbs, and bake it. Yeah, it's really good.
I need that now.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Otherwise, in my family, things are always, you know, pretty traditional, like a, you know, the last two Thanksgivings, I made full Thanksgiving dinners for very few people. And I'm trying to remember where I got all the recipes from. I mean, I think I just picked them up from various places.
Like things around.
Yeah, like my stuffing is sausage, walnuts, apples, celery, onions, and bread, and croutons. And, you know, everything else is pretty simple.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Why is it that it's all that stuff is really simple? Why is it such an undertaking? Like, why does it feel like it's a whole like week of? I'm insane, by the way, because I waited until today to go shopping for all my ingredients for stuff I have to make later.
Did you already do it?
No, I haven't gone yet.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going straight from here to there. So if any, you know, want to help me out, don't go to Market Basket at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be total madhouse. But yeah, it seems like such an undertaking. It's just mashed potatoes. It's just, you know, squash.
Yeah, it's baked squash and cranberry sauce. Gosh. You boil it.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
And in your family, what do you drink? How much do you drink?
Let's rephrase that. What don't we drink? What don't we drink?
Everybody always says have a Riesling.
Really?
Yeah,
for turkey, every Riesling.
Time,
huh?
Every time I resurrect the wine pairing with turkey,
it comes
story,
up. Pops
it's like,
up Riesling.
Oh yes, Riesling.
We drink. Well, we get to a point where bottles are just being opened left and right. It doesn't even, like, I'll probably, and this is no joke, I'll probably bring 4 bottles of wine with me tomorrow. Just me bringing that. So there's going to be 15 of us.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, we start with, you know, Bloody Marys in the morning with our Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
And Bellinis. And we go straight through to the wine. And then the scotch comes out after dinner. Like,
gosh.
It's, yeah, I have a good Irish family.
Yeah. Well, in my family, we're Irish as well. And for a while there, we were having what I call the Tennessee Williams holiday dinners, where everyone got really drunk and then accused everyone else
and then
of being
guns
alcoholic.
Were drawn. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We do that.
You're the alcoholic.
Yeah.
I'm not the alcoholic. Yeah.
Look how much you drank.
Now everybody's working the program.
Well, my uncle is, except for me. She's like,
I'm already out in the bag.
She just lit 3 cigarettes.
Not me. I'm not working any program.
No. Wagon? What wagon?
But kudos to those of you who are. I know it's
true.
Tough.
That's a hard thing.
Yep.
My family, yeah, we struggle. Yeah.
And
it doesn't help that my uncle has a license from the ATF to brew his own vodka.
What?
Yeah, my uncle makes vodka.
Where and what? Where
he distills it in his house in Maine. Yeah, he distills vodka in his house. He makes a lot of it, and it's pretty. He's a nuclear physicist.
Wow!
So it's kind of a science project for him. More than he doesn't drink it.
He just makes it,
and I think I'm not a big vodka fan in general.
Yeah.
I pretty much would strip houses with it and that's about it, unless it's mixed in with things.
Yeah.
And this stuff is, you know, it's pretty clean. It's pretty clear. It's almost like Everclear.
Everclear. Remember that?
Remember it.
Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill wine and Everclear.
Yeah. With some fruit floating in it.
Mm. Hey, programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Terracotta Pasta, makers of fresh gourmet pasta, ravioli, and sauces, located just south of the Kittery Traffic Circle at 52A Route 1, Kittery, Maine. More information at 207-475-3025. Support for programming on WSCA LP Portsmouth is made possible by our listeners and by White Heron Tea. Locally owned, White Heron Tea offers organic and fair trade teas, specialty blends, and chai. Available at cafes, grocers, and retailers, or online at www.whiteherontea.com. If you'd like to underwrite a programming in WSCA, please contact underwriting at wscafm.org. And support for programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Heron Pond Farm, building community through agriculture from our fields to your table. More information on CSA memberships at heronpondfarm.com or 603-591-8720. That's great. Thank you. Thank you, underwriters.
Thank you, underwriters.
Hey, I also want to say that Families First and Support Center in Portsmouth offers free breast and cervical cancer screenings for eligible women. To learn more, the number is 603-422-8208, extension 222, and leave a message. Spacious limited appointments are needed. Families First is a nonprofit agency offering a wide variety of free or affordable health care and family support services to individuals and families, regardless of ability to pay. The website is familiesfirstseacoast.org. Excellent.
Great.
And we're Wine Me, Dine Me. I'm Rachel Forrest.
And I'm Allie Goodwin, galfoodie.com.
Hey, I saw Martha Stewart on the Today Show this morning.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I saw Martha Stewart downtown Portsmouth.
I did.
Huh.
She was at Daniel Street Tavern.
Shut it.
Yeah, because you know it opens at 8, I think. No,
I think
she
it doesn't
not.
Close, actually.
She was not. And she did something with her turkey that I thought was quite interesting. Wow. She put it on her head.
Wow. And danced
and
around.
Danced around.
And called herself Chandler.
Yeah. She said this is a surefire way of really making the nice crisp skin. Oh. She took a cheesecloth. She melted 4 sticks of butter.
Oh, God, love her.
And poured in a whole bottle of white wine.
No kidding.
And then she dipped the cheesecloth in there.
Okay.
Layers of cheesecloth. Put it
over the turkey.
Okay.
Cooked it at 450 for a couple hours.
Right.
Then
Then removed the cheesecloth and then, you know, turned down the heat and cooked it.
And just roasted it because now it's sealed. Yes. Basically. Wow.
Thoughts?
My thoughts would be, wow, yum.
And I was thinking about trying it sometime, but...
I would imagine, actually, that would work pretty well because it's, I mean, you're sealing up, you're basically searing it from, you know, with cheesecloth.
Right.
And white wine.
She said it doesn't look pretty for a while, but she said the results are...
She's always coming up with some, you know, some really neat way of doing that.
It's so very Martha, I know.
So very Martha. I've cooked a lot of turkeys, and I would have to say a few years back, my whole family trekked all the way to Mount Desert Island to my new home, to my huge kitchen, and we made the biggest Thanksgiving dinner ever in my mind, because I had to do it all. Got this great turkey. You know, we had the opportunity to either pick like an organic turkey, which is different than a free range turkey.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got the organic turkey.
Yeah. Cause if it's free range and you can't guarantee that what it's eating
you
is
can't
organic,
guarantee.
It could be
kind of
bugs.
It could be, well, yeah. And do you think all the turkey farmers are going to hate me for bringing all this up? But do you think that a free range turkey might be a little chewier? Right. Cause it's eating, because you can't control what it's eating. You can't control its diet. You can't control its environment as much. Not that I want to see turkeys crammed in little cages.
Right. I do not know that.
But would be interesting to, we should have next year on Wine Me Dime, we'll get a turkey farmer in here.
Oh, we'll get Joseph Marquette to come on.
Perfect.
Joseph and Robert from Yellow House Farm.
From Yellow House Farm.
And they will come on and they will talk about all their poultry, their heritage poultry.
Oh. Yeah, I bet, you know, you could call them today and see what they've got for heritage poultry.
I'm sure they have nothing left.
Yeah, probably they
out.
Don't.
Yeah.
Probably they don't. Yeah, and if you have turkeys and they have been frozen, pull them out now.
I know,
if you're
it's
listening
not going
to
thaw.
Me, pull it out now and put it in the bathtub full of water. Thaw it.
The bathtub full of water.
Yeah, put it in a garbage bag and you fill up the bathtub. That's the only way you're going to thaw it by tomorrow.
Time, yeah.
Yeah, little tricks of the trade. Little gal foodie tricks. Put that turkey in a garbage bag and throw her in the tub. Yeah, just, you know, shower around it.
So, but have you ever brined? To brine to not to brine, that's always the big dilemma.
I have never brined. It seemed like a messy business. I don't see the point. I can cook a turkey and it comes out okay.
Yeah, it's
you know,
fine.
Like it's fine.
And if it's dry, you just throw gravy on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you throw gravy. I don't know life without gravy. So, you know, everything has gravy on it.
Now, do you put the giblets in your giblets or giblets
no,
in your gravy?
No, absolutely not.
No. No point to that little bag.
Those come out and they stay out. Like, I'm not, my grandfather did. My grandfather, you know, growing up in the Depression, used
you eat
every square inch of everything. And
beak.
Yes. And, you know, we have some really funny stories that we all love to share at Thanksgiving. Don't you remember when, you know, and a lot of them revolve around giblet gravies and him forcing us to eat it. More, you know, the funnier part is, you know, you will not get up from this table until you've eaten my gravy. But it's got a whole kidney in it. I don't want it. You know?
It's innards.
Ugh, no, thanks. But I mean, have you ever you've never brined a turkey? How do you cook yours?
I just roast it.
Just roast
and
it.
And baste it constantly. Constant basting.
Yep. Yeah, and do you stuff? Or not stuff?
I stuff and have the leftover stuffing.
Oh, good.
Because I like the moisture that comes from the turkey. Mm-hmm. I have this idea that some of the fat's getting into the stuffing. It probably is not, but...
Probably it is a little bit.
Yeah, eking into there.
Yeah. Some of the best stuffing I ever made was, it was a sausage stuffing. And it was one of these deals where I forgot to get sausage, you know, for the stuffing. And I like opened the freezer, you know, on Thanksgiving morning, like, oh my God, I must have some sausage. And I had a chicken sausage in there that had broccoli.
Oh,
Rabbi in it and some other stuff. And it was the best.
I bet that's good.
The best stuffing ever. I bet apple sausage would be a good sausage.
Yeah, I mean, I have a freezer. I have a freezer full of Popper John Medlin sausage, mm-hmm. but I think one of them is the beet horseradish one, which I don't think that would work very well.
Beet horse, but that'd be pretty good.
Yeah,
just on its own.
But keep that in mind for Christmas, because if you Popper Sausage Kitchen, mm-hmm. do a search on the Google. He always has really good sausage and bacon.
Oh yeah,
and he also is making pork pies. Oh, for you French Canadians.
I love pork pies.
What is a pork pie?
I could eat a whole pork pie every day.
I've never had one.
It's not real pretty, like how it's all made. It's pork parts, basically.
Yeah.
You try not to think about that.
Yeah.
But it's like you grind it all up, you mush it all up, you add mashed potato in to hold it together.
Okay.
And then you bake it in a pie crust.
Yeah.
And then you smother it with ketchup.
Ketchup.
I eat mine with ketchup and lots of salt.
Is that a French Canadian thing to put ketchup on it?
Well, my family, where we used to go, when we'd go visit the French Portuguese side of my family down in Fall River, Massachusetts, we would go to this one particular bakery down the street from my and Uncle Frank's house that was a Portuguese bakery and buy the pork pies. And that's how we always ate them.
Yeah.
It was just with ketchup and lots of salt. Like, I just pour the salt on it. I don't know why.
I'm salted. I use so much salt.
So much salt, I know.
It's bad for us, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
What happens, like, to us? What will happen? We'll be well-preserved.
We'll be well-preserved. And, you know, I'm going to say that, I'm going to toss it out there that we could probably lose 10 pounds right now if we just stopped eating salt because you retain so much water.
I've been thinking that.
Yeah. There's salt alternatives.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Some better salts for you.
Are they like butter alternatives?
Or sugar alternatives? Yeah. What do you know about the stevia?
Yeah, I don't know too much about stevia.
I would like to try it.
But it is all natural, I believe.
I just want to know if it tastes good. It going to make my coffee taste like it's got sweet and low in it? Because
I'm
just going to fly in the morning. I like things a certain way.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, well, you know, salt and lots of sea salt. Sea salt.
I love sea salt.
Sea salts. But there are some sea salts that are actually good for you.
Last night while I was watching The Biggest Loser.
Oh, Rachel. Who's the biggest loser?
Me.
You.
Because I was sitting there watching The Biggest Loser with a huge plate of freshly deep fried French fries covered
good
in salt.
God. Do you and tell I'm me you have there, a fryer?
I just used a pan.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there and watching The Biggest Loser and I'm eating these fries and dipping them in ketchup. I'm like, oh, wow, this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, not well.
That was all I had that day, though.
Yes. I had a hard time making dinner last night, too, actually. I had nothing. I had nothing in the fridge and I made the clean out the fridge pasta.
Oh, yeah.
You know, butter, garlic. I had peppers and olives and capers. That was it.
You know, one thing I've been doing that's quite interesting is that I have been doing some recipe testing for Blue Moon Market in Exeter.
Yeah.
Kathy Gallant is working on a cookbook. And one thing that's, almost every week I get, four recipes and all the ingredients to make the recipes. And I take them home and I you know, do the recipes and I write down what my experience with it. And it's all like there's no meat for one thing, which is great. And there's not a lot of cream and not a lot of butter.
I've been trying to cook. Well, I'm not trying. I have been cooking more like that.
Yeah.
You know, last night I put butter in this sauce because I just didn't have anything to. I didn't even have white wine. Like I'm like, usually I can just do a little olive oil, a little white wine. I didn't even have that.
Yeah.
Lemon juice, butter, garlic, capers, olives, peppers, onions. And Parmesan cheese. And
that's
that was my
need.
Dinner.
Yeah.
The butter part of it, though, I was like, oh, do I really want to do this?
You know,
this corn pudding that I make for tomorrow is like heavy cream and eggs. And I mean, it's heavy. It's heavy, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to retrain ourselves, you know.
Yeah,
and I think, too, as the weather changes, your diet and your desire to eat certain foods changes. And so I definitely have noticed I'm craving more
of the fatty stuff.
Of the fatty, heavier, which I don't want to eat.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to eat a giant thing of pasta every day. I'd much prefer just chicken. And I've been trying to do a meat or a protein and only vegetables, no starches, nothing white.
Yeah.
I've been trying that way. No rice, no, you know, if I want potatoes, sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes instead.
Instead.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A lot of sweet potatoes and a lot of squash, roasted squash, and a lot of greens like Swiss chard. Swiss chard, yeah, all the time.
Kale.
It's
so good for you.
It's so good for you. Yep.
Just toss it with bacon.
And beets. Yeah, kale. Just toss it with a little bacon and some butter, and it's really good. Saute it right up. Lots of beets lately.
Beets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have beets tomorrow.
I make them on the grill.
Yeah.
And then I take cold beets and I cut them up and put them in my salad.
Yeah.
With garbanzo beans. Ooh. Yummy. I'm starving.
I know. No. And you're going to go shopping, lunch, which is going to be bad.
Which is bad.
Oh, by the way, yeah, on December 9th when Chef Carl Mace is here from Union Grill.
Is he bringing us
food? He says he swears he's bringing us lunch.
Oh, sweet. Thanks, Carl, so ahead
has,
of time.
He has to do that.
I had great food there the other night.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just interrupted you.
Did you eat in the restaurant?
No, we did. We ate in the pub. So which is different, a little bit, but I have eaten in the restaurant. It's good. It's very good.
He's quite inventive, that Carl, Carl.
I had a baked haddock, herbed haddock dinner. It was really good. And French onion soup.
Nice.
It was delicious. And cheesecake for dessert, which is also delicious. And this was all at like 10:30 at night, which was the mistake of a lifetime, but and a lot of wine. But it was a good dinner. Everybody had it. Everybody had something different. Steak tips were really good. I tried some of those. Yeah, it's a good restaurant. They're doing a nice business over there too.
Oh yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. This time of year.
You're listening to Wimey Dimey on WSEA LP Portsmouth Community Radio, and I'm Rachel Forrest, a food writer for the Portsmouth Herald.
And I'm Allie Goodwin, the foodie gal from galfoodie.com.
We're talking about Thanksgiving and other stuff. One thing that I did on our off time here is I went to a bourbon dinner at the...
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you gave me little updates.
Oh, the dude-chick ratio.
The dude-chick ratio.
Yeah. There were probably 50 people there and maybe 8 women.
Impressive.
Yeah. And then they all went out to smoke cigars in the... It was at the River House, and they all went out to smoke cigars in this sort of... underneath his tent on the deck. It was quite pungent.
Yeah, I'm imagining that. But did they do a cigar pairing?
No, they just had a cigar at the end. But they paired, each course had a different bourbon. And they were really nice. They had a lot of vanilla tones to them. A lot of them did. It was great.
Hmm. Yeah. I had a pairing. I did a little like self-pairing.
Self-pairing.
Self-pairing activity.
What goes with me? Wine.
Wine. And some... pudding, Annika Jan's bread pudding with a sort of an orange flavored brandy. Oh my gosh, that was good. That was Sunday night.
Jeez.
Yeah, and then Monday night was radici. Did you know? I did not know this till I got there. Half price bottles of wine on the whole wine list on Monday night at radici.
On Monday, I think Pêche Bleu is doing that on a night too.
Well, it was nice because our waiter told us this, and it allowed us to have a much, much better bottle of wine than we probably normally would have ordered, because the price was even less still than the bottle we were going to order. So we had a lovely Malbec from Ben Marco Malbec. It was very good.
And I just got word that Black Trumpet Bistro is starting their three-course stimulus meal again. Yep, they're calling Black Trumpet Feeks.
Yes, Feeks. We actually stopped in there first before we went there. And the menu was a salad, a romaine salad, a blackened cod tostada, and a dessert that I don't recall. But it was... it looked really good. And it was, we're not supposed to say prices, but let's just say exceptionally affordable for the location and the quality of food you're getting. Like ridiculous.
Less expensive than the three course meal for restaurant week.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Let us just say that.
And who wouldn't want it? I mean, that's such a great little place to pop into. And it changes every day.
Mm-hmm. That's neat.
And it's just a neat place. And Evan's just a neat guy. The whole place is nice.
I know. It's a nice family.
We fawn.
Yeah. Fawn all over him. Evan's always good when I'm doing a story and I need to quote. I'm like, Evan, quick.
And it's got some clout, that quote.
And so it'll always be, he's very, he's been a food writer and it's always very eloquent.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. We had a great dinner at Pêche Bleu the other night during restaurant week.
Yeah, I had that orecchiette with the meat sauce and milk.
The veal chop.
Nice veal
chop. That was amazingly cooked, and every part of it was good.
Yeah, they're going off to Italy.
Italy, they are. Yeah, that's a pretty cool cool little trip.
Yeah, actually. And then they'll come back and they'll bring what they've learned.
That's so neat. It's nice when, you know, it's not just like out of a book.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we saw this in Food and Wine and we thought it'd be good on the menu. You know, it's like they go and they learn and they taste the real ingredients and they get the whole experience and the flavor and they bring that back. And they really do actually share a lot of what they know, you know, with their menu and their guests. It's nice.
Similarly, the entire staff at Cava Tapas and Wine Bar are going to Spain in March, and they're going to bring back what they learned.
See, now I need to go get a job at one of these places. I'll wait tables. I don't care. I get to go to like Spain and
eat. Go to Spain.
Go to Spain and eat. Actually, one of my things to do before I die is to do a food tour of Italy.
I
want to start at the top and go all the way to the bottom and sample. Because when I did that, when I was in Europe traveling around a lot, I was there for a long time, but I was backpacking and I was so poor. I was 19 years
old.
I was poor. Yeah. And we ate Nutella and we drank water and it had the occasional orange to ward off scurvy. And, you know, and that was pretty much it. And we did actually have some really amazing, amazing meals in Spain with family, friends of the family. And one of my hosting students, or, you know, exchange students that came when I was in high school, his family owns a winery in Roa, which is outside of Barcelona. And so they put on this amazing dinner for us. But the problem was that it was like kind of smack in the middle of the day. We weren't really sleeping a whole lot, sleeping on the train. And our stomachs had shrunk because we were only eating little bits. So they gave us all these rich, you know, meats and cheeses, and it just almost killed me. Like, that's my memory that I take back from that incredible meal that they were trying so hard to impress us with their wines and their, you know, couldn't eat it.
There are so many places I want to go back to now that I'm older and know more about food.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I did a lot of traveling in my 20s, too.
And sleep in hotels. That would be just amazing.
With beds.
With real beds. Yeah. Not the train station floors. So many tricks, so many good tricks. But yeah, I think it would be great. I think it would be great to go back there. I actually spent a Thanksgiving in Europe. I did.
Which country?
I was in Ireland, and it was my 20th birthday. And I had just come on the train, or I was on my way to Dublin from where the ferry kind of brings you over from Le Havre, France. Which is a beautiful ride. And about midway, I was by myself. And I kind of paired up with a couple of other backpackers, and one was from Australia and one was from, you know, some other country in Europe. And we found this pub and we had, they had made sort of a turkey shepherd's pie, you know, or like a, and it was really good. That was my Thanksgiving dinner in Ireland. And it was kind of funny. We were all just kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool that they acknowledge it in this tiny little town. I mean, it wasn't anywhere big, but they kind of acknowledged that it was Thanksgiving in the States and
and you get people.
Random Americans might be showing up and want their Thanksgiving dinner to have their pint. Yeah. And that was actually one of my first Thanksgiving away from home too. So it was kind of special. So yeah, cool. And that's my story.
So what else will people be cooking at your
A lot of pies.
Yeah, there's like big, I don't cook pies.
I think I'd looked at the list and it was like there was the turkey and the stuffing and the, you know, that stuff. And there's like three side dishes and five desserts. And I don't do the pie. I'm not a big sweet person.
Yeah.
So I like pumpkin pie, you know, for my Thanksgiving. I like gingerbread, like the fig thing. So my mom's making lemon meringue or banana cream pie. That's like a special request always.
Lemon meringue.
Mm-hmm. She makes good meringue. Like crazy good meringue. It's like 6 feet deep, you know, and then there's some lemon kind of thrown in there for good measure. But I think people go for the meringue. And there's going to be some bread pudding, I heard. And my sister does the squash every year, and I don't know, she has some secret recipe squash thing that's just really, really good. I think there's probably marshmallow in it. Just,
yeah.
You know,
I've done that before. Yeah.
You know, I think that's what I think there's fluff involved.
Fluff.
Yeah.
I made that one year. It was good.
Yeah, it's really good.
With a brown sugar pecan crust. It was really good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like a creme brulee squash.
Yeah.
That'd be really good to like, you know.
To brulee it. Yeah.
Ooh, yummy.
I was at this restaurant in New Haven when I went to visit my dad. And they had this, it was like a s'more brulee. And so they had the brulee, and then they had this kind of marshmallow on top. And this guy comes over, and there was a piece of wood on the plate, and this guy comes over with a blowtorch, and he torches up the piece of wood so it smells like smoky.
Right.
And then he torches the marshmallow on top.
So you were getting a smell,
yeah,
taste thing?
This, yeah.
Because he didn't do anything with the wood other than like set it on fire.
Yeah,
for
just
a minute.
Set it on fire.
So it was sort of a little show.
Yeah. I was like, really? Come on, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Not so impressed. I had a really good creme brulee at the Black Trumpet during restaurant week. It was a maple sugar creme brulee. Oh,
nice.
Yeah. And I had another one at the Green Monkey as well. It was kind of a maple-esque. Yeah. I ate a lot for being so sick. I did well.
I know you're sick.
Yeah. I did really well for restaurant week.
Well, you're listening to Wyoming Daimyo and WSCALP Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm Rachel Forrest.
And I'm Allie Goodwin.
And we're just talking about stuff we eat.
Stuff we eat. Stuff we'd like to eat. We wish that someone would bring us lunch.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
2 weeks from today, we'll have Chef Carl Mays from the Union Grill. He'll be talking about his preparations for his big James Beard House appearance.
That's so cool. My friend Jeff Kelly got to do that, too.
Oh, for what?
He was nominated... Cleonice, which is a restaurant in Ellsworth. He's the chef.
Yeah.
And now he's the chef at Table, which is Cleonice's other, the owners of Cleonice have a new restaurant in Blue Hill.
Right.
Maine that they just opened. It's in this really cool mill building. It's right on the water. They built half the dining room out over the water.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty darn cool. And so that's Jeff's baby now. But Cleonice was nominated for a James Beard Award. And so Jeff got to go down to the James Beard House and cook for the panel.
Yeah,
and that's pretty awesome. And he's an amazing chef. I mean, just the flavor combinations.
How far away is that from where we are?
That is about 4 hours
here. So it'd be a big trip.
It's kind of a big trip. Totally worth it in my estimation.
Yeah,
because the food is clean. It's unreal. You know, you go to these kind of higher end sort of, I wouldn't say that if you walked into Cleonice, you'd be blown away by the ritzy, you know, the glamour. There's no glamour. It's actually an old soda fountain. It's all wood and little booths. It's this really amazing place.
Yeah.
And you know, you expect like you're gonna be eating fine dining sort of with, you know, really interesting combinations, and there's probably gonna be just a little of everything on the plate. Cleonice is like, there is more food than you can possibly consume in one sitting on your plate, and it's all crazy good stuff and piled. Jeff has this whole theory about layering the flavors.
Oh, really? Stacking.
So, yeah, he stacks everything up and makes these beautiful presentations, but he gets the flavors from top to bottom, like through your bite.
Oh, interesting.
So he's really in tune with how it all works together.
And
Table is no different. I mean, they have a lobster mac and cheese that is... unfreaking believable, and just everything right down to the desserts, and it's really, really good.
Nice.
So it's worth it. I mean, if you're up there, and now's the time to go. It's off season and things are cheap. It's a cheap place to be. I'm going up to the island actually pretty soon.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go hang out at my house for a little bit.
Lovely.
Yeah. And eat at Table and Cleonice.
Well, we're going to wind down here.
Wind down.
So everybody have a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Be grateful for everything you have.
Indeed.
I'm grateful for this and for Rachel. And
I'm grateful for you, Allie.
Thanks.
Goodwin,
thanks.
Galfoodie.com.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. We sloppy moon was fast like a boulder. We sloppy moon is like a tree that's bending by the water. We shall not be. Water.
particularly kind of funny. I would never even know if the rain's gonna fall or the wind's gonna blow. One thing's more certain than the rising of the tide. Just a matter of time, but we're taking that ride. Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride. We're riding up the glory, sliding down the other side.
One thing that's more certain than the rising of the tide.
We'll all be taking that ride.
Well, people, they don't get it, don't seem to understand. They're gonna live forever, each day's a grain of sand. Just waste their time in foolishness, watch it slip away. The time is moving in the glass and it's empty some old day. Taking that ride.
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 Taking that
ride.
Riding up the glory, sliding down the other side.
One thing that's more certain than the rising of the tide.
We'll all be taking that ride.
Well, take care of the friends you have and the people that you meet. The folks you see down at the job and the neighbors on the street. Go easy on our precious ground and the birds up in the sky. Keep the oceans wet, the forests green, and keep those deserts dry. Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Riding up the glory, sliding down the other side.
One thing that's more certain than the rising of the tide.
We'll all be taking that ride.
Don't need no reservations, no sense to even try. Ain't no noisy traffic on those highways in the sky. Put down the top, turn up the tunes, ain't no sense to hide. Big wheels rolling down the road, taking us for that ride. Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride.
Taking that ride. We're riding up the glory, sliding down the other side.
One thing that's for certain and the rising of the tide. Time is right.
If it's day or night.
In a blinding light.
You just can't fight.
We'll all be taking that ride.
Taking that ride, taking that ride, taking that ride.
Taking that ride,
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 taking that ride.
Wiseman, Don Reno, Bill Monroe, and the bass voice of Vinnie Martin when he reached down his hand for me.
So do the verse first, please.
When the Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, once my soul was afar from the heavenly way, could be, but my Savior in love turned my darkness to day when he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior
SCA Portsmouth is looking for a volunteer membership manager to maintain our membership database, send thank you letters, send renewal letters, and keep our growing list of members organized. For more information, contact volunteer at wscafm.org.
Why make it look so bad?